He regarded me for a second and then nodded. "Oh," he said, with the tiniest of smiles. He mimed a sniff and a faint grimace. "I'll wait, gladly." I cleaned up. We were on the way out the door when the phone rang.
"Harry," Murphy said, "what the hell is going on out there?"
"Why?" I asked. "What the hell is going on out there?"
"We've had at least 24, well, I suppose the correct term is sightings. Everything from Bigfoot to mysterious balls of light. Naturally, it's all getting shunted to SI.
I started to answer her, then paused. Marcone and the outfit were involved. While they didn't have anywhere near the influence in civic affairs that they might have wanted, Marcone had always had sources of information inside the police department. Sources his subordinates could, presumably, access as well. It would be best to exercise some caution.
"You calling from the station?" I asked her.
"Yeah."
"We should talk," I said.
Murphy might not want to admit that anyone she worked with could be providing information to the outfit, but she wasn't the sort to stop believing the truth just because she didn't like it.
"I see," she said. "Where?"
"McAnally's," I said. I checked a clock. 3 hours?
"See you there."
I hung up and started for the door again. Mouse followed close at my heels, but I turned and nudged him gently back with my leg.
"Not this time, boy," I told him. "The bad guys have a lot of manpower, access to skilled magic, and I need a safe place to come home to. If you're here, there's no way anyone's going to sneak in and leave me a present that goes boom."
Mouse huffed out a breath and a sigh, but sat down. "Keep an eye on Mister, all right? If he starts getting sick, take the catnip away." My dog gave the door to the lab a dubious glance.
"Oh, give me a break," I said. "You're 7 times as big as he is."
Mouse looked none too confident. Thomas blinked at me and then at the dog.
"Can he understand you?"
"When it suits him," I grumped. "He's smarter than a lot of people I know." Thomas took a moment to absorb that and then faced Mouse a little uncertainly.
Okay, look. What I said about Harry earlier, I wasn't serious, okay? It was totally a joke."
Mouse flicked his ears and turned his nose away from Thomas with great nobility.
"What?" I asked, looking between them. "What did you say?"
"I'll warm up the car," Thomas said, and retreated to the frozen gray outdoors.
"This is my home," I complained to no one in particular. "Why do people keep making jokes at my expense in my own freaking home?"
Mouse declined to comment. I locked up behind me, magically and materially, and scaled Mount Hummer to sit in the passenger seat. The morning was cold and getting colder, especially since I was fresh from the shower, but the seat was rather pleasantly warm. There was no way I'd admit to Thomas that the luxury feature was superior to armored glass, but gosh, it was cozy.
"Right," Thomas said. "Where are we headed?"
"To where they treat me like royalty," I said.
"We're going to Burger King."
I rubbed the heel of my hand against my forehead and spelled fratricide in a subvocal mutter, but I had to spell out temporary insanity and justifiable homicide, too, before I calmed down enough to speak politely.
"Just take a left and drive, please."
"Well," Thomas said, grinning, "since you said please."